reach the island. My name's Dave, a.k.a. Whoops, forgot to write down a name, and this is a Fistful Podcast from FistfulPodcast.com. Back for another great week. Let me introduce you, as usual, to my co-hosts all the way from Marina Sparks area, and up first we have one Mr. Andrew Bergevin.
Hey, David, when did the Japanese start cooking eggs?
Oh, shit. Is it? It's got to be a pun.
It is.
When Hiroshima?
A long time ago. So, tamago is the Japanese word for egg.
That's a haunting set of laughter.
Yeah, those people have been dead for years. Also, next to Andy there, we have, you know him, you love him, Mr. Adam J. Hubbard, Esquire.
We're doing jokes from other countries. How many Irishmen does it take to screw in a light bulb?
None, because they're all drunk.
The same as everyone else, you racist.
Oh, damn it!
Are the Irish a race? They're a culture.
There you go.
What's the difference?
Race is a social construct, and culture is where you come from.
Well, here's the thing. Isn't race, like, aren't there three races? There's Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid? Or thinking of, that's race, right? Those three things.
Well, no, we don't use race to categorize people anymore.
Why not? It's so easy. You know, all those...
Made my life so much simpler.
All those lazy Scottish... Anyway,
that's
guys.
That's the one, right?
Yeah, that's one. Anyway, guys, it's a total bro hang today. Krista is off on a girls' weekend up north, so it's just the bros.
That's why Adam and I are bat-winging over here.
Yeah, we can just let it all hang out.
Yeah, there is.
Farting and scratching.
The bat-winging probably doesn't need to be happening.
I told him that.
Well, yeah, but I like a nice stretched scrot.
Yeah, you know, when you got a scrot, it's best to when it's stretched. But
that's what I always say.
That's my motto.
Have it on the doily.
So it has been super busy around here. Like, the appraiser for the house just left mere moments ago.
Your new house.
No, I'm buying the house that I'm in from my mom, and it's a whole long... It's less interesting than that, if you can wrap your head around that.
You're buying it from your mom and you needed somebody to tell you how much to pay your mom?
Yep. Guy with a chin strap rolled up and a fucking Ford Focus is like, yo, bro, here to appraise the house. And I'm like, all right. Well,
when you said a chin strap, I thought maybe he pulled up in a horse-drawn carriage. He's like, okay, Amish, it's time to appraise your home.
He was wearing one of those old Kaiser helmets.
Oh.
The chin strap was actually...
And he said, bro?
Yeah, he's like, hey, bro, Kaiser. He's like a hipster, I think.
David, I went to GameStop the other day to buy a PlayStation because mine was stopping working.
Sure. It was in the process of stopping.
Right.
So I was like, I better offload this thing onto some poor sucker before it completely stops.
Yeah, I gotta trade it off before it is actually broken.
See ya, suckers!
But the guy, like, the GameStop employee that I was talking to said fuck so much. It's like... Thank you. Like, it's like, you're getting a fucking lot of money for this PlayStation. I was like, oh, wow, whoa, okay. Oh,
Jesus. Yeah, it's, I don't
this
know.
This is a fucking great deal on this Destiny Pro.
I don't get why some people do that. Like, you go into like a retail establishment and they think that you're cool, so they'll like let fly with a bunch of obscenities.
I mean, I appreciate that, but.
I mean, I'm not going to tell on you or anything, but come on, dude.
Yeah, like,
you're
I'll get a few shits or fucks here or there, but if you're like really throwing down that F hammer like a lot, then it just makes it weird.
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, and like, it became uncomfortable. How many times he said fuck? He's like, you want the fucking, no, it was, do you want the warranty on this? Because if this thing fucks up.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe this is old man Dave talking.
Oh, you.
But I feel like, especially in a customer service position, like, even if you're cool with the person, maybe drop one or two, be like, that's the shit, or something like that. Don't be like, hey, what the fuck is up? You want this motherfucking play, fucking stay, fucking shun?
Just got fucking Destiny 2, Crota. And here's another thing. Anybody trying to sell me a warranty for anything? If you lead it off with, you never know when this thing's gonna break, it's so fucking fragile.
Yeah, it doesn't give me a whole lot of faith in your products.
Like, so should I not buy this PlayStation? What are you telling me?
And I don't, like, okay, so for the majority of, like, aftermarket warranties, they're all bullshit. Because,
yeah.
Number one, the manufacturer gives you a fucking year. That's some casual swearing. The manufacturer gives you a goddamn year. And then beyond that, like, because they're like, oh, you want the 2-year warranty? And what they don't tell you is the first year overlaps with the manufacturer, so you have to send it to the manufacturer.
See, the Costco used to do a thing where, like, their warranty didn't start until after the manufacturer's warranty ran out.
Yeah, and if you're going to be a dumbass and buy a warranty, that's the time to do it.
I bought a warranty for, like, it was only, like, $30 for my TV, and they were like, hey, within 6 years, if this thing goes out, we don't give you a replacement TV. We give you the about, like, what you paid for this TV to spend on another one.
And it was only $30?
Yeah.
I got a protection plan on the headphones that I just bought, but that's because, you know, headphone cords break all the time.
Yeah, those, well, and how much were the headphones? Were they the Beats?
No, it was just some little earbuds that I could wear, like, while
Adam got Beats
exercising.
By Dre, and Eminem rung him up.
Fuck. I think it would be Dr. Dre. Like, he wouldn't send out, like, Eminem.
Yeah, I won't get checked out at a store by anyone that doesn't have a doctorate.
Mr. Dre, no thank you. Next.
Where's your more successful brother?
The Dre family, he's the least successful. Just Mr.
Yeah, I'm Victor Dre, doctor.
Well, and that's the thing. I blow through earbuds like you would not believe. So I don't even bother. Like, I probably buy 2 or 3 pair every 6 months. But
really?
Yeah, because I use them every day.
Buy good ones.
I do.
What, headphones?
The thing is, I
bought a $200 pair of Bose wireless headphones that I used as a janitor. That still haven't broken.
Well, no. Go figure. If you buy wireless headphones, then the wires don't wear out.
Yeah, that's the thing. I always buy the earbuds that I can take to work, but when my iPod's in my pocket.
What do you want me to do about it, Andy? That's the part that wears out on headphones. If you get rid of the middleman, then you don't have to replace them that often.
Yeah, if I got wireless. Because my Bluetooth headset works, you know, great, and it has for the last year, but I still rock it old school with my iPod. So, you know, what are my options?
Rocket old school.
Yeah, no data
like
on
Kung
that
Fu
thing.
Bitches.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, man, what's this? 2006 iPod Classic.
Oh, God. A nice scroll wheel, just like Adam's. I'm pretty sure Adam found his iPod in a ditch and was like, huzzah.
Listen.
No, I'm just careful with my stuff so it lasts a long time.
Yeah, here, look at this. This is an iPod Classic. You
guys
can see
it. That's exactly the one that I use.
Yeah, it's awesome. It never, you know, like, there's no data plan.
And you say classic, but that's a black one. I still have a white one laying around. Oh.
Well, this is
black and white.
Well, it's still called classic. You get the classic in black or white.
Sure.
I'm not talking about that.
When the iPod first came out, I got one for Christmas because that's what I wanted.
Right.
It was my one gift.
Well, that was when they still had the 4 buttons above the wheel.
Yeah, that was great. That was like the 40 gigabyte ones.
Well, when they couldn't get any bigger than 40.
Well, and seriously, thinking of, like, and I didn't have 40 gigabytes. I had like the 16 or 8, whatever the lowest one was.
Because you would never need more music than that.
But like, I walked around with my headphones in my ears, no matter what, for like a week. I was like, I'm the coolest guy. And then I had forgotten. Like, I went on an enthusiast website and I had entered a contest to win a case.
Really?
And I won, but they didn't tell me. And this case shows up at my house, and my mom, I get home from high school, and my mom is waving this thing at me like, what the fuck did you order with my credit card? And I'm like, nothing.
What? And even so, like, it's just a case, mom. Chillax, I'd tell her.
Don't worry about what I do with your credit card.
Hey, mom. Don't worry about that credit card, mom. I got it all taken care of.
Is this like the time when I bought EverQuest and I was like, no, they only need your credit card one time.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you give it to them once, but they keep charging it all the time.
Who's ever heard of a game that you have to keep paying for?
Or when they bought me a satellite radio thing for my car, and my dad put his, like, my dad activated his credit card on it, and then even after I stopped using it, he, like, I told him to cancel it, and he didn't, so they were charging him $300 a year for, like, 5 years.
Wow.
That's crazy!
And I was like, Dad, it just renewed again. He's like, oh, I'll get to it.
Your dad is way older than
Dad's
I remember
an old
him.
Prospector. He's like, oh, son. And me, he's like, Grandpa's cough syrup is just a bottle of Jack Daniels.
No, David, he can't be that old because I'm ready to kill anyone that is that old.
Yeah, so we know he's not that old.
I've been working retail, David, and I'm going to tell you, old people suck.
Yeah, no shit.
Hasn't like, David been preaching that for years?
Yeah, here's the thing. And what is, like, as of this recording, today, it is still the middle of September as of this recording, and there are fucking snowbirds already here.
Well, it just started getting cold here, like, last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and no shit, like, Monday, it, like, the high was only 98 degrees. And so... Yeah, like the snowbirds, like all had that beacon activating their fucking old skulls, and so they're like, gotta get to Arizona. So like, there's just a convoy. I'm sure right now across this great nation, there is a convoy of Buicks and Chryslers, and they're all headed here to make my life miserable.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what they do, David. The 2 days in a row, I've had, and this is just a Target policy. If you buy alcohol, we're gonna fucking card you.
That's our policy, sir.
Yeah, like, the computer won't let you get any farther without the card.
Yeah, well, when you get, like, so big, you gotta have rules, man.
Well, it's for the better... It's for the betterment of humanity. That it's locked up like that.
Well, and because we have stupid people that would just be like, I got an ID, you don't have one, okay.
Yeah, like, it keeps everyone accountable, like, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, I had this woman, obviously very old.
Obviously.
And I said, I need your ID, and she's like, I'm not giving you my ID.
Well, then you're not leaving
with
this.
It's not going to advance without the ID, ma'am. I just need to scan your ID in here. It's like, you can't have my ID.
Well, it looks like I'm getting drunk in the break room.
Well, and she says, I'm obviously old enough. I was like, ma'am, the computer won't let me go. She's like, I need to speak to your manager.
I would have been like, okay, say goodbye to your wild turkey. It's flying back to the shelf. Bye, wild turkey.
She gets the manager over, and she starts complaining to him. And one of the sentences she says while pointing at me is like, I'm not going to show that creep my ID.
That creep?
He called me a creep. I'm looking around. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, man. The fact that she would just blow up your spot like that in front of you.
Well, and here's the thing, David. Right after her was a lady that looked younger than she was. Mm-hmm. She was buying wine, already had her ID out. Born in 1933.
Holy shit.
And she was the nicest old fucking lady. Like,
yeah, she didn't think you were a creep.
No, she was, well, she was like, that lady was very rude. Here's my ID. And I was like, thank you, 85-year-old woman.
Now I'm going to creep all over your ID.
like drooling all over.
And then today, a guy comes up and he has alcohol. I said, can I get your ID? He says, no, I'm about to fucking retire.
Yeah, like, there's even if you retire, they'll still ask you for ID.
Well, have fun doing it sober. Bye.
And I'm like, sir, it's not going to advance. And he starts, bleh, bleh, I'm 61 years old. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, sir, it won't go.
I want, like, if I ever get stuck behind someone like that, I'll have my, I'll run and buy booze just to do this.
Just
like,
to show them up.
Yeah, if there's some old fuck at a register and they're making a big stink, I, like, run, grab a single can of beer and put it on the counter. I'd be like, oh, hello, I'm a normal human who knows what is expected of me. Here's my ID and good day, sir.
And here's my brand new thing. If I give you the mandatory pitch that I have to give you, and I make it very short. I said, do you want the credit card? No? Okay. If
you didn't give me a chance to answer.
If you interrupt me while I'm doing that by sounding like a braying animal by going, no, I'm going to purposefully bag your groceries wrong.
David sounds like a Halloween decoration when he says no.
I was trying to play a donkey, but it did come out more as a crib keeper.
No, I started purposely bagging people's groceries wrong today. I was like, okay, the clothes go with the ice cream, and
oh, whoops, bread on the bottom.
Sucker.
Hey, asshole.
Like, fuck you. Just let me do my 20, it's not even, let me do my 5-second spiel.
That I'm required to do.
Like, and places I go, like, I understand it's their job, they have to do that, so I'm not, like, shooting them the double bird as they're ringing me out. I just say, you know, no. Like,
I don't blame the person. If anything, I just want to say, hey, stop. I know you need to do this, but you don't have to right now. I'm telling you not to.
Like, and I don't need, like, most of the people there don't push it. The really old lady there, I stopped going through her line when I just was a customer because she will just hound you.
Yeah, well.
Hound you.
Maybe that's why people
life.
Are braying at you.
Yeah, maybe they're tired of her.
Just give me a fucking second to say, like, hey, do you want this thing? And you go, no, thank you. And I go, okay. I'm not going to be like, why not? Why don't you want it?
You know, what are you too good for me? Is that you? Were you too good, bro?
Hang on, I'm going to call security to strong arm you.
Yeah, start getting really aggro at him.
Start negging them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I guess you're too ugly for this.
Yeah, you probably couldn't pay off any of the payments anyways.
Yeah, your credit's probably too bad anyway. You start typing away at the keyboard.
But here's the thing. So many people's credit is so bad when they open up that card, it's like, here's your $250 limit credit card.
I think it would be hilarious if you if you were like, hey, you want the credit card? They're like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. Just pretend to type, be like, just like talk to yourself quietly and be like, credit to poor. All right. And then just start scanning their shit.
Used cards. Wrong.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
That's my rants and raves for this week. Other than the fact that my one of my professors finally started fucking grading shit.
Ooh.
Except this is the third week, the third response thing I've done. The first grade, he was like, okay, well, make an introduction. I was like, okay. So and that was the first.
I can see where this is going.
I was like, okay, so I did what he wanted.
Uh-huh.
On my third post. He hadn't graded the second one yet. The second one, he added more stipulations. So he's like, well, you have to do this and this as well. Like,
That you also didn't do on the first one?
That I also didn't do on the first one. That I super didn't do on the third one because I didn't fucking know.
I was expecting on the second one he was going to write more notes like, I told you to put in an introduction.
Yeah, why aren't you traveling back in time to right the wrongs of your past?
Like, every other teacher has at least glanced at my papers to say, hey, you wrote something. This guy is getting back to me way late with like, oh man, you just didn't do this right. And I'm like, I just wrote four more of those and turned them into you.
I don't know what to tell you. I just don't think you're going to succeed in here. Sorry.
Whoops. Oh, man. The first one was terrible, but I've got high hopes for your next three. Oh, you turned those in already too?
Yeah, that's a rookie mistake.
Yeah, rookie mistake turning your homework in on time. Oh, man. Yeah, so here's a bit of news. I'm starting to fit this studio for video as well as audio, and it's a fucking disaster.
Yeah, like, well, you have to get the casting couch just right.
Well, that's no problem. It's just getting the jizz off of it after they, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's gotta be big enough for those starlets.
Yeah, the hardest part is the cleaning.
Really big starlets.
Well, the starlets and you.
Yeah, here's the one thing they don't tell you about is when they, you know, rip their panties off and sit back down on the couch, their butthole is like rubbing on the material. So
oh,
I'm going through Mr. Clean like crazy.
I've emptied out 10 bottles of Febreze.
Those magic erasers aren't magic enough.
Yeah, it's just like someone like repeatedly kept dropping mini chocolate donuts all over the goddamn thing. No, but gross. Seriously, this studio is like so full of shit. I'm going to give you guys a little look-see just so you can give like...
Wow.
So I've got three lights. I've got the stand. I had to take the tripod down. This room is packed full of shit. And it's all to open
for you.
Let me get it. This goddamn box that Cherish sent me. I want to do an unboxing video. So Cherish.
It's all because of that.
Lovely, lovely woman, lovely family sent me this box and I can't fucking open it. Because, like, number one, like, the background was too, like, dark, so you can see I had to add, like, an auxiliary color. It's a goddamn nightmare. So, and I bought, a lav mic that sounds like I'm, like, Mata's favorite phrase, like, talking through a cat's asshole.
So, unlike most normal people who do unboxing videos, David went out and bought gigantic lights and blue screens.
Yeah, I was going to say, most people do unboxing with their iPhone.
Listen, I'm not going to do this half-assed. Like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to fucking do it. And since this is a studio,
there's three or four asses involved with this whole setup.
Yeah, this, like, we're like a six-pack of ass right here. And so
classy.
I came home, it took fucking hours to set up. And it's still a nightmare. I'm still not happy with it. I'm just going to have to do it and then just put it out.
It's a nightmare from which there is no waking.
Yeah. But I'm going to double dip. So what I'm going to do is unbox this box, this mystery box that Cherish sent me in one video, and then do a full review of it in another video so that I at least stretch my studio dollar, because I don't know if anyone else is going to send me anything.
What if the mystery box has the one thing that'll make it all work inside of it?
Oh, man. So you're telling me this is like a Schrodinger's package?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks. What if there's a dead cat in there?
Oh, you sent me it was a dead cat and some radioactive isotope.
And somehow it works.
Yeah, she sent me a Schrodinger's box. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, it'll get ready soon. Meanwhile, the cat's been dead for days.
Or has it?
Or has it, yes. Well, I mean, he needs food, I imagine. He can't. And plus, it's a small
it's
box.
It's eating all those radioactive isotopes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just living off of that. Oh, maybe he'll have like a third eye or something. Moral
he's got
of story
a pocket
is,
full of kryptonite.
And my favorite album. So, yeah, so it's this place is a goddamn disaster, and I'm trying as hard as I can to get everything out, but it's, man, here's the thing. I think I brought this up either last week or 2 weeks ago. Now that I've got photography as a hobby too, that now they're both suffering. I've got hundreds, maybe thousands of photos I've not even looked at to process, and I'm still, as of this recording,
it's tough, isn't it?
One show behind. Yeah, like, I've got three full-time jobs. One pays me. The other one is this.
Well, I took the photography class for one semester, and, like, that's part of the assignment is, like, the assignment was, like, I don't know, perspective or something, and you had to take 70 pictures. You had to submit all of them, but, like, five of them were the ones that you were, like, actually submitting.
Proud of.
And that's what no one will tell you, too, because I took
But that's
Jeff,
part of the process.
Yeah, well, and that's part of it, yes, but I took Jeff out to do...
Out of the picture?
Yeah, I killed him. He's dead.
No.
Sure, I hope he doesn't wind up dead here soon.
I whacked him. So you know, I took out my camera. I gave him the backup camera. So we went around shooting some pictures, and just like 40 minutes of walking around downtown Mesa, I shot 500 pictures.
Yeah. I shot 500 people.
It was a spree.
It was one of those cameras that has a gun in it. So I'd be like, say cheese, and then they were murdered in front of me.
Cheese and say die, David.
Yeah, I told them cheese and say die. Yeah, so that's the thing. And it's really disheartening because, you know, you think, oh, man, I took so many great ones. And you get them back home, and 99.99% are fucking dog shit.
These all have hobos fucking in them.
Every single shot.
Well, that's my subject matter. Yeah, I expected that because I was pointing the camera at the hobos who were fucking. It's just the, you know, the lighting's wrong or the composition's off.
Well, sometimes it just takes like adjusting the levels or cropping it in different ways to make it look better.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And you have to look at every picture.
Yeah. That's why you need all of those pictures.
Yeah,
I'm photography man too. I know picture.
You just have to look at the pictures, and that's the hardest part. As I'm scrolling through the 500 pictures, you have to look at each one and assess whether it's worth your fucking time.
That color balance, right?
Yeah, only to find out later that it really wasn't.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can spend fucking 35 minutes on a goddamn photo mixing with the contrast, Andy. You know that word.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, contrast.
Yeah, your levels, Andy. Your levels. Yeah.
Saturation. Aperture.
That's before
worrying
you take
about
the picture.
Each color saturation and light scale. I'm worried about the tone curve, and, you know, the exposure. By the time you're all done, and 35 minutes has elapsed, and you're looking at this piece of shit, you're like, fuck.
I wasted half my day.
Those were about the tone curve, the tone loke.
Yeah, tone loke is always involved. He's always handing me cups of funky Cole Medina and doing the wild thing right in front of me. But that's the thing. And then you've wasted 40 minutes and you're like, oh, fuck, I've still got 495 pictures to look at.
I shot pictures for one day and I have a lifetime of work ahead of me.
Oh, yeah, it's rough. So
my opus is in here somewhere.
But that's the thing. You don't know when that perfect shot is going to happen. So you have to look at all of them. And it's
true. I've already taken my perfect shot.
You really?
So I don't have to try anymore.
And then you gave up?
No, I took the perfect shot, David. Do you understand what that means?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you could try to recapture lightning in a bottle.
It wasn't lightning in a bottle, David.
What was it? Was it a cloud in a bottle? Was
it
something in
a
bottle? Wait, what was it?
Praying mantis in a bottle.
Oh, praying mantis.
I'll show you sometime.
I can't wait. I want to see the perfect shot. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it is... fucking everything is taking up all of my time now. I don't have any time for anything. And here's the thing. I don't have enough time to do anything, and nothing is getting done. Like, at this point, like, one thing should be getting done. And
David Smith. You're making me very sad. Like, David's like, I have all these nice hobbies and I don't have time for anything. Meanwhile, I'm like, all I do is work and school.
Well, and, but school, like, you're at least bettering your, like, I'm just wasting time.
Am
but
I bettering myself? All I'm reading about Egyptians and then bullshitting papers about how children's needs love.
Yeah, just think about it, Andy. You could toss a hobby on top of all of that and not have time for it.
Yeah, because that's the thing. If you have...
like the rest of us.
Like, because math would teach you, if you have one hobby that takes up 100% of your time, and it gets done, and it's professional or whatever, like this show. And I'm not going to use professional for this show. But when
you didn't put air quotes around it.
Professional. When the only hobby was the show, it got done. So I thought, oh, photography, I'll get them both done, but half as fast or half as effective. But no, it's zero.
Half as good.
Nothing is happening.
We need, I know what David needs.
Drugs.
Well, he needs a t-shirt with our Larry the Cable Guy slogan, get her done, so he has to remember...
Oh, yeah, I gotta get, every time I go into the bathroom to take a piss, I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot I had to get her done.
I have to get her done today.
Hey, it's get her done toilet paper.
Listen, I've never been more tempted by cocaine in my life because I believe that would be the
only... That's what I was going to suggest.
Yeah, that would be the only thing that could help me get through all of my hobbies.
We were at my mother-in-law's house the other day, and she's
doing
talking
cocaine.
About, yeah, doing cocaine. No, she's talking about... how weed back in her day, people sprinkled it with angel dust. I looked at her, I said, you know, angel dust costs a lot of money. Why would they do that? She goes, I don't know. Why did they do that? And I looked it up online. Looked it up online. I was like, that never ever happened. Look, no. It was a myth. She was like, no, it certainly happened.
Bullshit. That's the thing. I don't, because everybody's like number one fear about weed is like, what if your dealer sprinkles something hardcore on it? Number one, he's not going to do that because drugs are fucking expensive, idiot.
Well,
like,
and
if you,
weed is cheap.
Yeah, weed is cheap. Like, if you go and you're like, hey, can I buy a joint? If he says anything over $10, he's like, oh, it'll be $85. Then you know it's laced with something because he's trying to get his money out of you. He's not going to give you free drugs, idiot.
But this is the same woman that she completely bought into the your children's candies filled with needles and drugs thing from Halloween.
That's why you look first and take it out.
Well, Adam, that it never happened.
No, yeah, I never ran into that ever.
Here's the thing: it did happen once in the 80s. But
I mean, that's what I've heard, but I don't know if I've ever seen an actual report about it.
No, it was a guy poisoning his own kid.
Yeah, it was his own kid. So it's not like you could even if you did look in the candy, he'd be like, "Okay, we checked it. Now go to bed." And then he comes behind you and like shoves a syringe in all your Snickers. Like checking it does dick. Yeah. And plus, like who, like. In even in the 80s, when forensic science was like fucking nothing, I bet if a bunch of kids started getting sick and dying, all it would take would be like, hey, whose house did all of you go to?
Yeah.
Let's check that shit out.
Just look at a map and see which house is in the center of all of these sick kids.
Yeah, like... they had like pins and string in the 80s. They would find you. But yeah, so that's the thing. Like, people are so scared of everything.
And well, especially like when my wife arrived here after her parents divorced and she didn't want to live with either of them. And she was like, can I live with you? I was like, sure. Uh-huh. She was terrified of doing a lot of things. She was terrified of asking me for food for a
really?
While. Well, because her mother and father taught her never ask anyone for food.
That's weird.
Because it's rude or they might poison you.
Okay, so maybe when you're visiting a friend or you're in a foreign place, but like with the
they
person
they might
you,
poison you there.
Yeah, maybe they'll poison you. But once you move in with someone, I feel like you no longer have to even ask. You just go to the fridge and grab something.
Let's see. There was when she was a child, she wasn't allowed to play out front.
That's weird, too.
Well, because if she played out front, some pervert would drive by and see the most adorable little girl in the world and just snatch her up.
Well, it's true. Like, her parents, like, everybody says that about their kids. Her parents had that one. Like, they got it right that time.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I mean, I can't tell you how many times my brother and I would be playing in the front yard. Someone would drive by slowly in a burnt-out 78 El Camino, and they'd be like, hey, kids, you got some tight asses. And I'd be like, oh, no!
Thanks, Mr. Bob!
My tight ass!
My parents were right!
I'm glad I corked it up.
I understand, like, you're afraid, and it's, like, illogical, but you have to realize that, like, these things don't happen. If somebody was going around abducting kids, Like, his, like perfect example, when every jackass idiot motherfucker who owned a clown suit started running around scaring people, that hit the news immediately.
Yeah, yeah, like this day and age, that's the word gets around pretty quick.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When people started coming out in clown suits, other people started carrying around bats in their cars and busting the skulls of clowns.
Well, let's see. What else was my wife afraid? Oh, she wouldn't go on the freeway.
Was she afraid of the toilet when it flushed because it was loud?
Yes, absolutely. Well, she wouldn't go on the freeway because obviously somebody would run her off the road or something.
What?
And that was her dad. Her dad was like, the freeway is the most dangerous place you could ever be.
But here's the thing. I mean, even if you don't drive, you've driven over an overpass and seen the freeway, and it's not like a fucking Mad Max Fury Road situation. Yeah, you're not looking down at like people wearing like nipple clamps and like leather G-strings, like screaming for gasoline. Like, give me a break.
I mean, yes, like all of these things could happen. Like,
you should be
aware that it's a possibility, but statistically, this stuff happens very rarely.
Yeah, I mean, there's a greater chance of you getting killed by a coconut than, like, getting killed
by your Halloween candy.
Yeah, than getting killed by your Halloween candy, because I've eaten Halloween candy for 30-some-odd years, haven't died once.
Just every day of my life.
I'm always, every day, I go into the big, it's like a 55-gallon drum of, like, Kit Kats and Reese's Cups and stuff, and I'll grab one, I'll say, you know, is today going to be the day? Pop it in my mouth? Nope.
Yeah, every November 1st, David spends all day inventorying his candy and rationing it out over the next year.
I wear one of those green visors, and I have a pair of half glasses, and I walk around with a...
Well, your Reese's Pieces, that'll get you out through the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah, I've got a clipboard and a pencil that I'm constantly licking, and I'm like, the Gobstoppers, 400 of those.
If the Gobstoppers are everlasting, I could make it work.
Let's see, if I only eat the red Skittles from the packages for this month, I will have many Skittles left over for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I've in addition to like being insane about candy, I have crippling OCD.
That's another reason I can't get to my hobbies.
Yeah, like I have to break 7 Kit Kats before I can eat one.
Krista, how many brown M&M's do we have?
Well, and he separates his candy like, this is the chocolate with wafers, this has nougat and something else. Krista, you've messed it all up again.
Yeah, it's just like my pantry is just this huge like Willy Wonka wall of like drawers. Maybe it looks more like a coroner's office now that I'm thinking about it. All the gurneys you pull out and it's just full of candy.
At any point in time, David can knock on his counter and it's like Mr. and Mrs. Smith only with candy bars.
Or the Kingsman.
If someone shows up like, man, I can really go for a Snickers, I bang on the side of the fridge and a secret compartment slides open and there's like that fog and it's like Scion lighting. I grab the Snickers. I'm like, there you go, man. People love coming to my house because I have candy.
So I'm like a secret agent with candy.
And by people, I mean children. Because it turns out they're the huge demographic of candy.
That's why,
man.
David keeps getting all these immigrant workers to work in his candy warehouse.
Yeah, I just, you know, you go into the Home Depot, you can get like a dozen of them and like for $80 for the day. Fucking great.
Then you just got to pat them down for any stray Skittles or something at the end of the day.
I make them work in their underwear and they have to wear those like respirators.
No powdered sugar getting in your lungs. I don't want you taking anything away from this.
But I
shucking those Kit Kats.
Yeah, then I put on a white rubber glove and I run two fingers down the crack of their ass to make sure they're not hiding anything when they leave.
Vanilla wafers, huh?
And then, yeah,
that's not even candy.
what are those shitty pieces of candy that are like giant Pez? Not Pez.
Necco Smarties. Wafers.
Necco wafers, that's it.
Ugh, yeah, they're the only candy that's been around since 1888.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they didn't make them after 1888.
Well, there's those shitty dots of almost sugar that's on like receipt tape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, candy dots. Oh, man. So, do you guys remember eating candy dots as a kid? Like finishing a row and then spitting out like a bubblegum-sized wad of paper?
Yeah.
What a fucking disaster.
I feel like in the evolutionary line of candy, that's like way far down on the list.
Yeah, that's like, hey, do you like candy and bowel obstruction? Try candy dots, and also fuck you.
Get your sugar and fiber.
Have some candy cigarettes, kids.
I did love candy cigarettes.
Yeah, those were cool. But after eating an entire package of candy dots once, I shit a paper crane.
Make a wish.
A multicolored paper crane.
Then I got mesothelioma from those candy cigarettes. I just can't give them up. And just powdered sugar all over my lips.
I know they add powdered sugar and tar to them, but I can't stop.
My lips are all chapped and white. I'm like, I'm a 2-pack-a-day candy cigarette habit.
The shittiest gum you could think of.
No, Adam, the shittiest gum I can think of is whatever gum they took from 1807 and they put into baseball cards.
Yeah, why the fuckers? Like, all even like when they were brand new, that gum was terrible.
What about Fruit Stripes?
Fruit Stripe gum is terrible.
Fruit Stripes is an okay gum for the first 5 seconds.
Yeah, as a chewable gum, it's okay. As a flavorful gum, it's garbage.
And that's the thing, like, after the first 5 to 10 seconds, it does feel like you're chewing the flavor of a 9-volt battery when you put your tongue to it. I don't know how they do that. It's like a pleasant experience for like a brief, like flash in the pan, and then it's like you're chewing a liquid battery.
Something about the process of adding stripes to gum is abhorrent to nature. For like it destroys the flavor molecules.
For like 10 seconds, you're like, man, that zebra's got his shit together. And then directly after, you're like, fucking zebras.
Goddamn zebras. Can't make a decent piece of goddamn candy.
Here's what I think they should do. Just one stripe per stick, right down the center.
That might make them last longer. We'd have
stripe
to test it.
Yeah. I mean, I've already sent it off to R&D, but we'll see. I've got 7 or 8 migrant workers in their underwear experimenting with various stripe widths and lengths, so I'll let you know how that goes.
We'll call it red stripe gum.
And then David's like, no, you can't make it that wide. It would be fruit strip gum.
Red stripe, it's gum!
Jamaican for gum!
Red stripe, Jamaican for gum!
With just the right amount of Jamaican rum.
Yeah, and then you see a guy with dreadlocks like, taste of the island, man. Oh, man. Yeah, fruit stripe, it's gum.
I love it.
We probably wouldn't even get sued because we just take the S off the end. We only have one stripe.
There you go.
That zebra can eat a
dick. I
think
it's already called fruit stripe gum. I don't think it's called fruit stripes gum.
I thought it was stripes or striped gum.
I don't think it was striped, but is your gum pre-striped? I'm going to do a quick Google.
It's just fruit
search.
Stripe. One stripe. Damn.
Just fruit stripe?
Well, yeah, that,
fruit
that's
stripe gum.
That's damn dishonesty it in advertising then, because there's way more than one stripe on there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, maybe we're fruit stripes, only one stripe.
But there's many stripes in a pack.
I mean, look at that gum, though. It looks delicious right now. I don't fucking want some.
I don't. Every time I go to the dollar store to pick up another, whatever cheap thing that broke around the house I'm trying to replace, they've always got fruit stripe gum, and my hand makes it halfway there before I'm like, almost got
every time.
Me. Yeah, every
you almost
time.
Fruit striped me.
Krista, I've been striped.
There's that one that's like all colorful, and then there's that one that's just mostly like pink and red. And sometimes, man, my fingers get dangerously close, and then my other hand will like seize it and stick it back into my pocket because it
knows
better.
It's got alien hand fruit stripe gun syndrome.
Yeah, it only activates when I'm around terrible products.
No candy dots. No.
Yeah, it's the same thing when I reach for an Oscar Mayer hot dog. The other hand
where
slaps it.
Where the fuck do you even get candy dots anymore? Like, I feel like I'd have to walk into an old-timey store and a guy's like, you want 6 inches of dots?
I'm sure we could in Virginia City, Andy.
It's, no, go to the dollar store. They are the king of shitty and or international candy.
Oh, yeah, international candy. Hi, I got you some chili powdered minnows.
Hi, who are you? Why are you in my
have
house? Just coming through the door. Hi, I got you some chili coated minnows.
Yeah,
like,
you were a candy secret agent or something?
I deliver unpleasant candy door to door. Have a good day.
Yeah, if you can suck all the chili powder off this piece of candy, it might taste like mango underneath.
It might be full of shrimp. You never know.
Yeah, and also watch out for the huge pits we leave in all of our candy. Whose fucking idea is that, P.S.? Go to the store, buy any Mexican candy. I don't care what it's made of. It's got a goddamn seed.
I don't think I've ever gotten that far.
Oh, well, you wouldn't eat any Mexican candy because it's all disgusting. But, like, I had a girlfriend in high school. She loved Mexican candy. And I'm like, you are a disgusting garbage person. And it was always like it looked like just a piece of a straw that someone in a factory cut in half, dunked in like dog shit, and then like carefully stuck pits to.
What are you eating there? Oh, it's a peach pit covered in sugar and chili powder.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's always a fucking seed in it. And she's like, oh yeah, you gotta watch out for the seeds. And I'm like, no the fuck I don't. Candy does not have seeds.
Well, you probably didn't know this, but one of our friends right now, I guess, recently was on a Mexican candy kick. I'll tell you later. But my first question was, why?
Yeah, who? That's the only question you should have.
I'll tell you later.
Oh my god!
You can reprimand them when they get here later.
Is it a? Oh, it's Larson.
I'm just gonna toss chili powder in their face and be like, "Surprise, Halloween!
It's candy. Are you happy?"
So you were trying to protect Larson's anonymity?
No, it wasn't him.
Oh damn it! Because he's usually the one that I find most abhorrent. With like, it's when one of your friends does something insane, it's always Larson. It's just the facts of life. Oh man! So guys. How about this?
Speaking of old TV shows.
Speaking of old TV shows, guys. I told these guys, hey, remember all those shows that we made up?
I feel like I'm watching one right now.
And they were like, yeah. So, anyway,
step
guys.
Step by step?
This is just generic 90s music, and it's only that long. So, you know, we here at FFOP have done a lot of pitches for television shows. So what I've done is I've compiled all the ones we have.
And did we have a long, proud history.
Yeah. I did a quick write-up on all of them because I'm going to be pitching these to Fox. And I wanted to know if...
So the last maybe a season.
Yeah. Which one we should green light. So this is the FFOP fall... what the fuck did I call it? The fall...
It's a fall lineup.
Fall lineup. That's what it was.
Our fall police lineup.
So I'm going to go over the ones I've got, and I told these guys to make up a couple new ones, and we'll see what we got. So I've got a couple new ones at the end of this. So I want to give a shout-out to Joe, who put in like 100% of the legwork on this bit, because I was like, can someone go through and find all the shows we've ever pitched?
Is he our archivist?
Yeah, so he's our archivist. The only reason this is happening is because of him. So, first one on the list is Andy the Time Traveling Incest Lawyer. You guys remember that
yes,
one?
Yes, I remember that one.
So the punch up, or rather the you know pitch I put together for it is Andy travels through time litigating famous high profile court cases all while sexing up blood relatives. Mm-hmm. He can't move on.
Distant.
He can't move on until the case has been won and he's dipped his wick in the family gene pool. Think of it as Quantum Leap meets Sex with Family.
Classic show.
This case has been won, and I'm gonna come.
Oh, you can't keep ending every episode like that.
Case closed. All right, the next one, classic Hobo and the Hooker.
Yeah, that was like one of our very first ones.
Yeah, real early one. So this is a homeless man and a skeezy streetwalker are forced to work together with the local PD and patrol the gritty streets of downtown Reno, Nevada.
I picture it like Turner and Hooch.
Kind of, except the homeless. The dog is a homeless guy, and the detective is a prostitute.
Yeah, other than that, it's uncanny.
Hooker in my office.
So, even though they share an apartment with the chief of police, they still can't give up their street lives and constantly butt heads when their personalities and upholding the law clash. So, I'm sure you guys remember that the hobo sleeps in a cardboard box in the corner.
Of course.
The hooker is constantly bringing home Johns, and the chief is always like, hooker.
He's just got a desk in the living room.
No, he's behind it's like a half glass door that's sort of like pebbled, and like it says chief that's nice stenciled on
sure,
there.
Sure, but it's partitioned off from the living room.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like a cubicle. It's open top. Okay, the next one, I think I didn't have a great pitch at first, but as I worked on it, it got better. So this is Adam Hubbard, Lobster Ghost Detective.
Was this one of the ones we did before? Because I read your write-up on Facebook, and I can't really remember doing this one.
Yeah, so this is the one we did. Okay, so Adam Hubbard is working as a lobster tank cleaner for the Red Lobster Corporation, barely making ends meet, when one day a freak electrical storm strikes the tank that you're working on, and you black out. When you come to, you realize that you have been gifted the ability to speak to the dead, .. lobsters. from the tanks you've been cleaning. Now, you can't rest until you settle all the unfinished business of all the lobsters from the tanks that you cleaned because you didn't save, you know, their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So
this is going to be a hit.
Righting the wrongs of lobsters.
The rubber bands that bound them in life now bind them in death.
Yeah, so you have to finish their unfinished business and snip those rubber bands. In that order. The next one we had was My Homeless Dad. And I figured I'd star in this one. So after his parents' divorce, little David thought life would never be the same, and he was right. His father, after falling upon hard times, ends up homeless and has to keep that fact away from his son at all costs. Needless to say, the amount of camping trips little David goes on with his father skyrocket and hilarity ensues.
This has sounded like the Pursuit of Happiness, but with a laugh track.
Yeah, it's like, because like the dad comes to the mom's door, knocks on the door, and he's wearing a bindle, and she opens the door, and there he is, and like maybe his shoes are open, his top hat's bent and broken, and it's like, ding dong, he's like, hello? Ah, oh, kids love it. So yeah, My Homeless Dad. Next, I think this was yours, Adam. Bob Ross, FBI watercolor artist.
Yeah, I really wanted to do this one.
Okay, so the write-up is, famous PBS painter Bob Ross is approached by the FBI for a top secret assignment. He's recruited for his painting prowess and forced to fake his own death in order to go undercover as the agency's top suspect artist. The job turns out to be more than he bargained for because in addition to having to cut his legendary fro, he's forced to give up the oil paints he loves so dearly and switch over to watercolors. Mm-hmm. I don't...
All right, right here, we're just going to put in a happy little scumbag.
I don't think that one is a comedy. I think it's like a Law & Order style.
Yeah, it'd be a really melodrama. Yeah,
something like this. And he's like, all right, you... What did that scumbag look like? And he's, you know, whacking the brushes on his easel and stuff.
Nobody's really a bad guy. People just make a lot of happy accidents.
like murder.
Happy little murder over here in the corner. Happy little blood trail leading to the car.
And he said he had a happy little scar right under his left eye.
let's just put that in right there.
This one was mine, and I totally forgotten, and Joe had to fill me in. This one's called The Cut Above, where Adam and Andy are roommates trying to find love in the big city of Sparks, Nevada. The two friends work at a pig slaughterhouse and are constantly...
Biggest little city.
Yeah, biggest little city. They're working at a pig slaughterhouse and are constantly setting each other up on dates at inconvenient times. More often than not, the dates end up in disasters as the two knuckleheads usually forget to remove their bloody clothes and aprons, splattered with the fresh blood of the squealing pigs who live out their final moments in stark fear and confusion as the pair slit their throats while listening to Africa by Toto or Down Under by Men at Work.
That's just Andy's workspace.
Yeah. Except that I have better speakers, so it bleeds through.
Yeah. So, now, this one I'd completely forgotten about it, too. This is David Lindblad's game show. And
I don't remember this one.
Per Joe, apparently, I am the host of a children's game show where I have bought up all of the old sets for Guts, Double Dare.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, Legends of the Hidden Temple. Let's see. Two. So it's every children's...
Climbing up the Aggro Crag and one of the temple guards jumps out of the mountainside.
Yeah, so it
throws you off the mountain.
It's every children's game show bought long after the show has been defunct and knitted together inexpertly. Dave tries to guide the new children contestants through a multitude of disparate challenges and trivia segments, trying to weave a cohesive theme but always failing, apparently. The kids will face the Aggro Crag, temple guards, motes of smoky liquids, physical challenges, and perhaps lose their lives in the process as the sets were assembled by unskilled non-union laborers.
we didn't include Nick Arcade.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Nick Arcade. So also, all the ones that we, you know, are out there will make it. This one was Adams, I believe, the arborist?
Don't remember.
This is, Adam is a detective who has a very special gift. The ability to commune with trees and other large shrubs.
I feel like I already had a special gift of talking to dead lobsters.
This is a different...
Well, you've moved on.
Yeah, you've moved on. After you solved all the lobsters' crimes, This says, very few crimes, however, are committed in the woods, and which only makes things harder as Adam lives in the low desert of Nevada where very few trees grow. It's
not a lot of work around here.
It's like when the detectives in the 70s would talk to shoe shines and offer them 20s, except Adam talks to plants and offers them a sprinkle from his watering can.
Just a little sprinkle for you.
Yeah, like you're trying to get some info out of a shrub, and they're like, oh, I don't quite remember. And you're like, oh, will this change your mind? You shake the can and sort of water them a little bit. And they're like, all right, I get you. Now I've got Gina Fustamatelli, Italian butt detective. This isn't my favorite.
Is this one of yours, Andy?
No, this is mine. So, Gina Fustamatelli was just another cadet in the New York Police Academy, until one day in the station locker room, she slipped on a puddle of conditioner and fell on a piece of evidence she confused for a bar of soap. When the evidence, slick with water, accidentally slid into her butt, she received an intense vision that filled her mind with a complete understanding of the crime. Now, she uses her ass-based intuition to solve crimes on the streets of Brooklyn, all while being Italian.
Gina Fustamatelli is a great name.
That's probably the part I'm most proud of, is her last name. Now, I couldn't.
Does she use a lot of puns? Does she say, okay, let's get to the bottom of this?
Yeah, she says, let me ask you a question.
I'll make him crack.
But.
Cut the crap.
Just cut the crap.
Poop.
All right, this has two titles. I'm not sure which one to pitch. It's either Chop Claims Court or Small Claims Chop. Any thoughts?
Is this like a karate course?
I can't tell if this is a karate course or some sort of a butcher shop.
This is the one. Trung is a Vietnamese orphan who washed up on the shores of America on the back of an old door. With hard work, he mastered the rule of law and became a mild-mannered, even-tempered judge, doling out justice with a quick wit and a sharp tongue. But when the justice system fails the people he serves, he takes to the streets at night to deliver a different type of justice.
But if he was the judge, wouldn't he be able to pronounce guilty or...
Well, sometimes, you know, the evidence isn't there. Sometimes the, you know... So what when the
sometimes the system doesn't work and he makes it
when the
work.
Justice system fails, he takes to the streets. So while studying to pass the bar, he trained diligently in the deadliest martial arts known to man and uses these skills to deliver savage chops and only chops to the necks of the criminal element of his fair city.
Yeah.
What's the deadliest martial arts?
Small claims chop. You know, like Krav Maga and others.
It's a mix of Krav Maga and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah.
Imagine a dark alleyway and there's a tough, like, counting his drug money, and all of a sudden he hears, hello.
Oh, God.
Hello. And then,
that
bam.
Haunting cry.
Chop in the neck. His neck snaps like a pencil, and Trung is off to fight more crime. This one I had totally forgotten about, and I'm sure it'll ring your guys' bell once I tell you what it is, but it's The Misadventures of Butt Chuggington.
No, I remember Butt Chuggington.
This the hopeless drunk Butt Chuggington is the bane of the totally wine manager. He consistently sneaks into the alcohol megastore in disguise and tricks the employees into offering taste tests of various boozes, which get funneled into his ass. Before being chased from the store by the disheveled manager, he always looks to camera and delivers his infamous catchphrase, "Ain't I a stinker?"
Yeah, I do. See, but anytime I go into a Total Wine, I think about Butt Chuggington.
You know, Butt Chuggington? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, where's the mascot?
I completely forgot about Butt Chuggington until it made Joe's list. Okay, so here are the two
Joe's
new
list.
Ones. This first one's called Millennials. When an alien AI infiltrates the internet, the infrastructure of the internet, it's completely demolished. The government allies with...
The internet or the alien?
The internet. Completely dismantles the internet. So the government allies itself with America's biggest tech companies to repair the damage, but each step is of their progress is blocked or undone by lingering strains of the alien code that viciously attack all networking attempts. In this world, a generation that grew up online is now forced to live totally IRL. A group of diverse teenagers are forced to find hard copies of pornography to burn it to, are forced to pass notes written on paper, and deliver Polaroid dick and pussy pics from partner to partner through an underground network of horny teenagers.
the underground Polaroid Railroad.
Yeah. It's like Harriet Tubman would be proud. Now that all information is passed hand-to-hand on physical media, it pushes the millennials to the breaking point. Can the online...
Wouldn't it be the Polaroid Express?
Can this online generation live in an analog existence forced on them by an alien influence? Thursday nights at 9, 8 central.
But the Polaroid Express would just be nude pictures of Tom Hanks over and over.
Not
again.
Necessarily. There could be Santa Claus,
yeah,
too.
Like, you're waiting at...
Tom Hanks as Santa Claus?
Santa Claus. Yeah.
You're waiting at the train station. It's just, you see this train whip by and all the windows have been replaced by dick pics from Tom, Tom Hanks and Santa, apparently. So those are the ones I got. What did you guys come up with?
Well, I have a few ideas, but I didn't, like, do a full write-up on them like I was pitching it.
I was just wasting time at work, and that's the only reason why that happened.
Sure. I was getting paid to do
that. Let's alternate here, Adam. I'm going to start with my inappropriate one.
Okay.
When a TV executive makes a show that he's like, oh, man, what's a demographic that we haven't tapped? Midwestern gays.
Midwestern?
Okay. What do people love in the Midwest? NASCAR.
Okay.
Do they?
So this is a show.
NASCAR?
About gay NASCAR drivers called Fruit Loops.
Nice.
It's obviously a comedy, but there's some drama in there.
Fruit Loops. Oh, can we get the couple from Modern Family?
Absolutely.
Eric Stone Street and the other redheaded guy?
Yeah, the guest star.
Sure, I know those people.
So who are we thinking about casting in the lead?
Neil Patrick Harris.
All right.
That's perfect, really.
So you're going to call it Fruit Loops in this day and age?
I said he was misunderstanding.
It's supposed to be funny.
Well, I guess that's the thing, because there is a show called Fresh Off the Boat about a Chinese family and a show called Blackish about a black family. So what do I know?
Yeah, right?
Fruit Loops. All right. So now, have we decided, like, are we doing going to shoot this in Atlanta? Because, I mean, that's probably...
No, we're shooting it in California, and all the NASCAR footage is going to be stock footage.
Well, it's got to be shot in Canada, because that's where all the best movie deals are these days.
The window for shooting in Canada is so small if you don't want people to see the breadth of the stars. I don't think, like, you're not going to be on a NASCAR thing and you jump out and, like, your breath is, like, freezing in the air as you're talking to somebody.
Teeth chattering.
Yeah, we'll do it like Reno 911, where we shoot it all in, like, Cupertino, but then just use stock footage of Reno.
David's right. Canada never has warm weather.
I hate you and your cold weather, Canada.
Anything below 70 degrees.
All right. Fruit Loops. Adam, what do you got?
My first one is, two of mine are reality shows. My first one is David, Paranormal Devestigator. So basically what you're going to be doing is you're going to be following up on claims of paranormal activity going on.
Uh-huh.
You'll go, and if there is, like, legitimate evidence and stuff around there, you'll hide it all.
Well, when you said that, I was thinking of maybe I would follow around, like, the ghost hunters with, like, my own show.
That was my other idea. Like, that isn't one of the ones I wrote down, but that was one of the directions I was thinking about going with it.
Because, like... I think it would be funny if I were following around like those bros from Ghost Hunters with their tribal armbands and shit.
No, that,
and like,
that was going to be David Ghost Cynic.
Oh, that I think that'd be hilarious. Like, oh man, it's cold. We cut to my camera and I'm like pointing up at an air conditioning vent or like.
Or maybe I'm like, it's just David with a pop-up paranormal video.
Yeah, like I'm holding a mojito and I'm like holding it to the back of his neck and I'm like, oh, scary. And I take a sip,
oh my god, do you feel that chill? And David looks over and the window's open and he holds up his phone and it says the temperature's 36 outside.
Yeah, and like maybe I'm always drunk and I've always got a different fruity drink in each scene. I'm like, oh yeah, real scary. Alright, I like
David,
that.
David sounds like that, like a bitchy guy from a...
David, drunk casino grandma.
I've always got a cigarette that it's like 7/8 ash that just won't fall off.
Now you guys are doing a real good job. Where's my fucking hurricane?
I mean, everybody knows it's a prop, but they love it.
Yeah, people, they're always like, shh, you hear that? And then like as they're listening, like you can hear me like stirring my drink with a swizzle stick and I'm like slurping it loudly.
Oh, you can hear the rattling of his chains.
Yeah, I like this idea.
Ding-ding-ding-ding.
All right, that's not a bad one.
So whichever way you want to go with that, we'll run a focus group on both of them.
Yeah, I mean the bones are there. We just have to sort of flesh it out.
Okay, guys. You loved him in Malcolm in the Middle.
I did.
You loved him in Breaking Bad. You loved him in about 10 minutes of Godzilla.
The best 10 minutes of that movie.
But did you know he's also got sick moves? It's Bryan Cranston's Funky Dancin'.
Bryan Cranston's Funky Dancin'.
Yep.
Dancerin.
It is 2 hours. 2 hours of just Bryan Cranston dancing to funk music.
I don't think... number one.
I'd watch it. That sounds awesome.
Sure.
It's Dancing with the Stars, but it's only one star, and it's Bryan Cranston.
But there's no way, number one, we'll be able to afford Bryan Cranston after Breaking Bad. Number two, like, fuck, he's going to want to do this. He's like...
I think he will.
He barely showed up in Godzilla. He's like, yep, I'm in a movie. See ya. Like, Two hours is a lot to expect.
Well, it's a monthly show.
Oh. Okay. All right.
It's something the kids look forward to. Like, oh, fuck, Bryan Cranston's Funky Dance is going to be on. I hope we learn some new sick moves.
No, sure. And we're guaranteed like a daytime Emmy because it'll have Bryan Cranston in it.
Yeah.
Like everything he touches.
Why is it a daytime Emmy? Is this like for house mothers or
something? Well, we are taking all the soap operas off the air for one day.
Replacing all the soap operas with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, because, I mean, who, like, it's got to be daytime program. We can't afford anything after 5. Like, those time slots
are... We can't
afford
prime time.
Yeah, no way. This is, like, maybe a 2-4 or a 1-3 slot.
We've obviously already blown the budget on Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, which is why it's basically him against a blue screen that we
changes.
Put, like, yeah, it changes into, like, different clubs and stuff, and he's just like...
Exactly.
It's just very obviously blue screened into it.
Yeah, at this point, the only thing we can afford is, like, the blue screen, and maybe we can shoot it on my phone.
I don't know. It seems like Bryan Cranston could be on board for this kind of thing. He seems like he might do fun stuff like that.
We're going to have to train him to dance.
Do you think so? I think he already knows.
I think, because in my head, we've got to see if Jamiroquai has, like, an opening in his schedule to come teach Bryan Cranston how to funk dance for 2 hours.
Well, no, we'll have special episodes every once in a while. We have like a guest star on, and he's teaching them to dance on screen.
Yeah, except nobody talks.
Nobody talks ever.
Could it be like the 80s very special episodes where he deals with like drug abuse or like child molestation every once in a while?
Sure.
Like maybe he's got to dance with Michelangelo and like that smoke cloud that that James Coburn is like, hey, Bryan Cranston, you want some drugs? And he's like, no, but I got some.
Not the
sick
Tim Curry
moves.
Smoke cloud.
No, he wasn't. Wait, who?
I'm thinking of a different smoke cloud.
Yeah, when did Tim Curry play a smoke cloud?
He was Hexus in
Ferngully.
Oh, I thought
that
he was
more of like an ooze skeleton.
Yeah, he was like
an ooze cloud.
He was like a sludge.
But you know, he was a smoke a lot of the time. He had some sludge in there, but...
Yeah, but we need someone who is like 100% smoke all the time. Because like the cleanup is going to be out of this world. And number two, like James Coburn as a smoke cloud always wore a suit. So
I feel like he's a drug dealer, David.
Well, yeah, so that's... because drug dealers are always wearing suits.
David, okay, first off, we're looking at Cartoon Heroes Save the World or whatever the fuck that was called.
Yeah, no, they only save one child.
And they didn't even do a very good job of it.
Yeah, it took them an hour to save one kid, and they were all cartoon characters.
I feel like if I met Michelangelo physically...
Yeah!
Not only would I be terrified...
Like,
because there's a giant fucking turtle talking to me, I'd be like, holy shit, Michelangelo, I no more drugs.
Yeah, like that's the thing that everyone overlooks. Like that kid, maybe because he was so high, like he wasn't affected as much by like cartoon characters coming into the real world and like telling him the ills of drugs. But like any of those guys, Garfield, any of the chipmunks, Michelangelo, any of those guys show
Slimer.
Up, I'm like, yeah, okay, fine, thank you, I'm done. I will
no longer shoot up.
If we
want somebody that's smoke all the time, we could get Tom Waits.
He smokes all the time.
Oh, right.
But that wouldn't be a bad idea to have him voice the cloud.
I mean, that seems like a pretty good cloud voice to
me. We're increasing our budget here. All we have is Bryan Cranston, a blue screen, and some
stock
footage.
Are we still talking about Bryan Cranston?
I forgot this was still attached to the Bryan Cranston thing. Fuck.
I don't remember what this came from.
Yeah. All right, so Bryan Cranston's Funky Dancing, a 2-hour monthly show.
Interesting formula.
I may pitch that. I may not. I'm not 100% on board yet. What else did you have, Adam?
My next reality show is FFOP Extreme House Flipping.
Okay.
Because, you know, house flipping is a really big thing right now. There's a whole channel, like, dedicated to these kind of shows.
Yeah, HGTV, that's their bread, their butter, their meat, veg, it's everything.
It's all courses of the meal.
Yeah, flipping houses is HGTV's 7-course meal.
But see, ours isn't actually going to be improving the houses in any physical way.
Well, we make them worse?
No, we do extreme stunts on the houses.
What?
Oh, so we're actually doing flipping.
Yes.
Oh. Wait. Are we like going to the roof and flipping off onto like an air mattress, or are we coming in with like a giant catapult and flipping the house?
All of these things.
All of these things.
You can't, like, you can't just have one trick that you do in every show. You got to do tricks, different tricks for every house.
Here's the thing, David. What is HGTV missing right now?
Porn?
A Jackass style show for their home.
That's
homeowners.
True.
Oh yeah. What if like during the demo, like instead of using tools, we just like, you know, mosh pit our way through the house and like kick the shit out of stuff, and like maybe we'll put fireworks up our ass and like shoot them at like mirrors or, you know, whatever we can break.
And that's the demo portion. Yeah, I like that.
All right. Now that, see, now it's starting to come together. If we do like a Jackass style,
well, that's what I was expecting as a brainstorming thing.
Yeah. Okay. I like this. Like maybe we make Andy sit on an unexploded airbag wearing a hard hat. And we
shoot him through a window.
Yeah, we trigger it.
Well, oh, this is to take the chandelier down, right?
Yeah, like maybe we need to get like, oh, we're putting in a fireman's pole. We're going to blast Andy's ass through the ceiling. You know, maybe he'll snap his neck. Maybe he won't. We'll see what happens.
I'm ready.
We'll see if we have to recast him next season.
Yeah, we're like, that'd be funny if like just in the middle of nowhere, Andy was gone. It was some dude you'd never seen before.
The very next scene, it's a guy that's obviously not you in the same kind of clothes.
But he's wearing the same hat. We're like, 3, 2, 1, we see Andy shoot up through the ceiling and get stuck up there, and we're like, all right, done there. We all turn around, and there's like another dude who like kind
the
of...
the other guy? Just
oh God, is there. He a... Boop, boop.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Andy. All right, I'm on board for that. FFOP flipped this house?
Extreme house flipping.
Oh, okay.
Or we can change the name.
Yeah, because that's the thing. We'll need to... ask people to send videos into FFOP, rather to HGTV, and like they'll walk through the house and they'll say, you know, at the last part, they'll both look in the camera and be like, FFOP, flip this house. And then like maybe there'll be like a wobbly effect, and we'll appear behind them and be like, hey, motherfuckers! Like,
do some cartwheels into the room behind them.
Yeah, we're here to make dick jokes, talk about our balls, and knock this fucking house down.
Balls!
Look at Andy, he's bat winging over there.
Print it.
Oh boy. All right. Yeah, I like that idea. Did you have another one, Andy?
No.
Did you have another one, Adam?
Well, I like I said, I had kind of half an idea for another one.
All right.
I wanted to do a Mad Men, but it's like they're writing greeting cards.
Oh my God!
I've come up with the perfect birthday thing. It says happy birthday.
So would it be like the same sort of vibe where like everybody's an alcoholic and they're like really misogynistic and like they're like, you know, they're loosening their tie and the bro cream's coming out of their hair, and like at the end of the episode they just hold up, what's that old woman with the dog that's in all those birthday cards?
Oh, I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
Like we're like, oh fuck you, and like there's the big thing, and like maybe we're splashing each other with alcohol, and like maybe there's a fight, and at the end of the episode it's like, finally we got it, and we hold it up, and it's like that old woman and her dog, and then you open it up, it's like it's this heartfelt sentiment.
Yeah. Slap some glitter behind those Google eyes. Print it, dame.
Yeah. Like, I told you I wanted a 16 color palette, not 8. Get the fuck out of my office.
Adam, these fucking talking cards aren't working. And David comes in, he's like, what if we made them high-pitched?
Oh, what do you think this is, shoebox? This is the big leagues!
But the only name I could come up for, it only made sense if they were only writing... what the hell's the name for it? Like, console?
Consolation cards?
Consolation cards. Right. So that would be Sad Men, but...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Sad Men.
That was the only name I could think of. Or Hallmarketers.
Hallmarketers, good.
We could be the Birthday Boys, but that's already been used. But yeah, Hallmark. Or maybe we work at Mallhark. You know?
Mallhark sounds like a guy who stands outside the mall, and he's like the town crier for the mall.
That'd be cool.
Sale at PacSun today.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Yeah. Buy one, get one free at Athlete's Foot. Hear ye.
Behold, the samples have gone up over at the Philly cheesesteak land.
Yeah. Yakisoba's got fresh chicken samples. Hear ye.
Orange Julius. Fresh fish.
Hear ye, hear ye. Oh, man.
It is buy one, get one half off at ye old Hot Topic.
60% off Cinnabons over an hour old.
We didn't even fucking hire this guy. What is he doing here?
Get out of here.
Why isn't this a show? Why don't we have the mall crier?
I feel like he'd be a background character in another show.
That's true. I don't think we could make a whole show based around a guy who screams at people in the mall.
Be like a kiosk at a mall, but worse.
Yeah, oh, maybe he works at like the information booth, and every time someone asks him a question, he has to ring the bell in their face and then
scream it at the top of his lungs.
Excuse me, where are the bathrooms? Like, ding, 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 ding. The shitters are on level 2 behind the subway.
Right behind you, jackass.
Do you have any place that sells ice cream? Ding, 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 ding. We have the ice cream of the future. It is Dippin' Dots.
Or you can visit Her Majesty the Dairy Queen.
If they don't turn your blizzard upside down, it's free.
It's punishable by death.
Yeah, there's one guy working there who doesn't have one hand because he didn't turn the cup over. Oh, man.
Now he just has OCD. Every cup in his life he has to turn over. Spills a lot of drinks.
Yeah. Hey, I ordered an Orange Julius, you asshole. Now my shoes are ruined.
Don't yell at me. Town crier just has a necklace of hands.
Yeah, can we make a show around a fucked up mall where everyone's like mentally ill like this?
Oh, God. Oh, maybe for like Showtime.
Yeah, it'd be like a real gritty like Game of Thrones style mall, too. Like maybe like the people who run the Hot Topic are brother and sister, but they're constantly fucking each other.
It's true.
That is true. That always happens.
That's the way Hot Topic is.
Yeah. That's the only thing I know to be true.
Every Hot Topic you walk into, there is a blood relative fucking another blood relative in that store.
Yep, at any given moment.
Yeah, I went in there and I was like, hey, what am I doing in here, by the way? I'm an adult. But they're like, hey, we don't know, but we're going into the back to fuck. And I'm like, are you two related? And they're like, yeah.
Of course we are, bye.
But I said, why is that pile of unsold Ger dolls writhing?
Anywho, guys, great brainstorming session. I definitely like that mall pitch. We flip this house, and I'm not sure about Ted Danson's dance off.
Ted Danson's funky Cranston.
What if
brought to you by Ted Danson?
What if it's Bryan Cranston's Ted Danson, where Bryan Cranston dresses up like Ted Danson?
He plays a character named Ted.
Yeah, and then he dances.
All right, I think we might have something now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is coming together.
Bryan Cranston's Ted Danson's Unexpected Pantsin'.
Yeah, so we pay Bryan. Oh, here, he can be in the mall. Bryan Cranston dresses up as Ted Danson and pantses people in our mall. It's like a Jackass-style show. We're like, oh, man, hey, man, look over there. And there'll be, like, obviously a dude standing there with a giant camera. And they're like, oh, I'm on TV. Then it's okay.
I'm still not okay with this.
Bryan Cranston saw my penis. Who I thought
when you put it like that.
Yeah. If you can somehow get Bryan Cranston to see your penis, I think the show will be worthwhile.
I mean, you've made the big time, really.
Oh, shit. All right, guys. So, awesome job all around. I like doing bits like that because it makes me feel like this is an actual show that we put thought into.
Well, we used to do bits all the time. Yeah. David said, you know what? I hate games.
No, I never said that. You guys said the show was too long, so I cut the games out.
Well, that's why we talk for like 20 minutes about nothing.
Hmm.
Then we do a game. Then we do the thing. Then we leave.
Maybe we'll do a game next week. We'll see what happens.
Maybe, Andy. David doesn't have the audio. I can't go get a drink because David's not going to play the...
Yeah, it's all going to be put in post, so you're fucked. So let's keep it moving right along with a little segment we like to call Creeping on Craigslist.
You have... marvelous hands.
Don't torture me!
Why are you trying to kill my soul?
Boom. Andy, what do you got for us this week?
I had a trio, but we're running long. But let's give it a shot. Let's give it a shot.
All right.
This one is a read at your own risk. Wink.
This ad will mess you up.
W4M.
Abandon hope, all ye who run your eyes across this page.
It's true. And I can't tell where they're from, unfortunately. It's in Casual Encounters.
Unfortunately, did you really want to know where this is coming from?
Yeah, I need to visit.
Andy loves pinning down pinning down people's races so he can judge them. Andy loves pee-peeing.
No!
Good night, everybody. I go pee-pee. Anyway.
Looking for someone who will torch-ure, T-O-R-C-H-U-R-E, my stomach.
Torch-ure?
Enema, comma, suppositories plugged and then tied in so I can't release till you let me. Then stuff my cleaned out ass with foods that squish. Ooh. So you can use a small cucumber or whatever without tearing my asshole.
Hold on.
And crush the foods all up so they more fit.
Wait, wait, wait. Earlier in this ad, I heard, was I crazy or did I hear mention of a stomach?
Yes.
That is not a person's asshole.
I mean, if you keep pushing food up there, maybe.
Like, if I go to the doctor and I'm like, ooh, my stomach hurts, and they're like, let me get a look at that ass, I'd be like, what? Like, no. Like,
I don't think you're a real doctor.
There's feet of intestines between my ass and my stomach. Why start at the very back
you're going
door?
Going the long way.
Yeah, like, it'd be closer to go down my throat.
the scenic route, please.
Yeah, I'm taking
you're
the long way
like
home.
Town crier.
Yeah. Use mineral oil as lupe for the foods.
Lupe.
I think she meant lube, but lupe.
Life with lupe is really different these days.
Lupe, get in here!
Yes, Senor Massa.
Let me just call my secretary in.
Rice!
Classic.
Force feed me Bracatti and Pepsi or vodka and iced tea.
Bracatti.
Wait, what's Bracatti?
I think it's supposed to be Bacardi.
Oh, okay.
Is Bracatti known for making you have to go to the bathroom or something?
Well, I think she just wants to get drunk and have some sort of casserole in her butthole.
She's like, hey, make me a Bracatti Crolla. Vodka.
Cigarette breaks a must. You supply all.
So, wait, all of the cigarettes?
So I need to buy all this food, the enemas, the suppositories, the Bracatti.
I don't even know where to get.
If I have to buy the food, I'm only showing up with two containers of Go-Gurt.
I mean, maybe some cottage cheese.
I'm not going to literally throw my money into this woman's ass.
Well, I mean, and Go-Gurt would like make the most sense. Like, that'd be super easy to get in there compared to most foods.
Snip the tip, insert, and then just go whoop.
Yeah, along the same lines, Otter Pops.
Yeah, the cold.
I feel
ooh,
like
a summertime
just,
fun.
Maybe like creamed corn with a funnel.
Yeah, that would work.
I mean, a lot more things would work with the funnel, but like Go-Gurt already comes in the package.
Your Go-Gurts, your Otter Pops, all that is just like a one use. Then you throw away the thing. Like, you don't have to like bring home a length of tubing and a funnel that has like someone else's shit on it.
No fuss, no muss.
I wasn't thinking about tubing. You just funnel straight in.
Even without the tubing, I don't want to bring home a funnel that has shit in it.
I feel like you'd need to do sort of a French press to get it in
there's a good, you're not leaving your house. But first, no anal sex.
Well, obviously, that's full of food.
Yeah. She only wants a cucumber in there, not your dick.
And some casserole fixins in there.
Yeah. And the end of the ad is, I can't host, nor do I drive.
So you would have to pick this woman up, bring her to your home, and then shovel food into her ass?
You have to do everything.
Yeah, you have to fly, you have to buy, and you have to shove.
Yeah.
And then you have to fly back, because she's not going to walk back, I imagine. Her ass is going to be in so much pain.
Well, David, unfortunately, it seems like nobody got back to her, because here's ad number two. Who will stuff me?
She's insatiable.
W4M. So I've been looking for a while, but no real follow-throughs.
Can't imagine why.
That's a real bummer.
I want to be completely empty. However.
It says thrust. No follow-thrust.
No follow-thrust. Enema, suppositories, mineral oil.
Oh, it's upgraded.
Okay. But so
Ur choice.
So
the Ur choice.
I don't understand why the enema and suppository. Like, she's talking about like a complete from the ground up. She's like, rinse that shit out.
I don't want to be pre-filled by anything.
Well, do that at home, bitch. Like, you've got a toilet, I imagine. Like, you can enema yourself.
You can poop.
Yeah. Like, you know, go to Taco Bell, shit your brains out, then we'll do something.
Choice, then stuff my clean ass with creative small foods. So, like, really cool macaroons or something.
Well, she's getting all, like, Martha Stewart on us
or,
now.
You know what? Like, could you imagine going through, like, a White Castle and be like, yeah, can I get the 20, like, the briefcase or whatever? And I was like, yeah, you must be hungry. And you're like, nope. And you just drive
someone
away.
Someone is. Wink.
You're not going to shove these in your ass, are you?
No.
Pedal hits the floor and you peel out.
This is why places like Kane's Chicken have like 100-piece chicken wings.
With creative small foods, till you can feel them through, THREW, my belly.
No, that's not going to happen.
I want to cartoonishly see like the imprint of a hamburger from the inside of your belly.
Seal me up and wait for it all to mush. Perhaps warm water.
Wait for it all to mush?
You got to mush it.
And you put some caulking up in there to keep it all in.
Yeah, that could be its own like DIY.
Got to weather seal it.
Yeah, you see Bob Vila come in. He's like, "Yeah, you want to get some silicone caulk, make this weatherproof. We're gonna let that sit for about 6 hours, and we'll be back." And then immediately Dave cuts to it. And
tune
he's like,
in next week for this old butt.
This old ass.
Dave with a timely Bob Vila reference.
Yeah, and he's like tapping on the cork, and he's like, "Yep, that's set."
Let's
this
see.
Week on this old ass.
This old butt. Fuck you.
I like ass.
Some fruit soaked in wine, or stuff my face with Jello shots. 420 is cool, etc.
Is this?
It
just...
says it's not etc. It's exe. So it's etc. Not etc.
I think she means 420 is cool extra.
Need cigs too.
Is this just a ploy to get someone to buy her alcohol and cigarettes?
She doesn't even have her own cigarettes this time. Maybe she didn't last time.
I think she said we had to buy them.
Yeah, we had to buy everything.
Apparently. I need smoke breaks, and I need you to buy my smokes.
If I'm footing the bill for this ass experiment, you better smoke at least half that pack with your ass.
This is going to be a huge shopping list.
Hell yeah! Like, she wants so much...
Oh, I forgot Butt Chuggington's best friend, Butt Puffin.
Yeah, Butt Puffin.
When it, and the it is capitalized, so I can only imagine it's the clown.
It is Pennywise.
Becomes much force, more unplug.
That could still be the clown.
When it becomes much force, more and plug. Make me fully explode over and over, but seal that stuff in till you release it.
I don't understand.
This seems like just a waste of food. This is like spitting in the face of every African child on the planet.
I want to look like the first scene in Seven.
Exactly. Ugh.
Oh, God. A lot of creative bondage with chains and ropes, so I can't squirm.
Creative foods and creative bondage this time.
Blindfold me, gag me. Not looking for anal, but compromises can be discussed.
Yeah.
Like face fuck while full and or exploding.
Yeah, we can
who's up for the challenge? Seriously.
We can discuss things like the meaning of compromises.
And the final, so far, these keep on getting posted, David.
Yeah, the final part of the trilogy.
Are there dates? Like, how far apart are there? Are they?
There's no dates, so I keep on getting them on Reddit.
Okay.
But this was a day ago.
Whoa.
Who has a dungeon? W4MM.
Oh, now she needs two people shoving food in there.
I hope it's a food dungeon. Oh, you know what?
A cafeteria.
I bet her and Guy Fieri could make beautiful butt music together.
I've heard some of Andy's butt music. I don't want to hear it again.
Welcome to Diners, Drive-Ins, and Assholes.
Come get me and take me to her dungeon where you will tie me down and give me suppositories and enema.
Just one.
No.
We dropped the oil. Maybe the oil was too fancy.
I still want her to do that on her own time.
Right?
I'm not paying for that.
I need some pre-pro from you.
You want me to do all this stuff for you. How about you pay a little back? Especially if I'm bringing you to my dungeon. You clean
pay
that shit out at your house.
Let's see here. Once clean, shove food all the way deep in my belly. Nothing too big, please, but T-O-O is just T-O, so nothing too big. We're not going there.
Yeah, right.
Fill me till you just can't possibly get any more into me and plug it in.
This seems...
Make me suffer while full.
This seems insanely dangerous. Like,
right?
I get, like, you know, whatever, stick food in my ass, but, like, so, like, intestines are very delicate things, especially if you're going to be shoving foodstuffs in them.
During these processes, you will force feed me booze, so keep me sedated while you change my position around to get the most in me.
So now there's an actual purpose for the booze.
And here's what David's complaining about. Don't go cheap. Get a lot of foods.
Yeah, don't go cheap. She's saying, if I have to pick her up, supply the enema, the mineral oil, the suppository, and then she's like, don't skimp on the food. Like, maybe that's why people aren't answering. Be like, hey.
Can't imagine why you haven't gotten any responses.
Yeah, give us a break on the food. Let us buy, you know, cheap shit.
Buy your own goddamn cigarettes.
Buy your own goddamn booze.
Yeah. I'm not going to be feeding Kobe beef into your ass. You fucking, like, you're getting ground chuck from the fucking deli.
And this also feels like
clearance bin.
This lady is a severe alcoholic. She doesn't have any money now.
Yeah.
She's like, I force feed me booze.
That's the thing.
Also, I guess put stuff in my butt.
See, that's the thing. I want to say that this is just a hopeless alcoholic whose vices are such that she's like, okay, I'll let you do whatever you want to my ass as long as there is booze and cigarettes.
And the final line, now would be fun.
Right now is good for me.
And we know she's not wanting for food, because if she were wanting the food, it would be going in the mouth.
Maybe she saw that episode of South Park where they're shoving the food in their butt and they poop out their mouths.
Maybe.
Man, I click on these Craigslist that I've been saving, and some of them I can't remember why I saved them. Because this guy just wants to jack off in your pet store. Anyway.
In your pet store.
That was everything.
How does he know about my pet store?
Well, he loves the tangy smell of like a hot snake cage.
Oh, I found a gift just for this.
What?
No, I was like, why the hell did I save this? And it's a picture of the Scooby-Doo crew, and all of them are scared except for Freddy, who's smiling, and it says, that's my fetish.
Watching people be scared?
No. he's looking at whatever they're looking at, so I imagine it's this woman being stuffed. Like a turkey.
Let's talk about gifts some more. I want to tell you about my favorite gift.
I can smell the pizza. Pizza's here.
So my favorite gift.
Oh, yeah, which one? You know what? The one I love. I don't even think I can name a single gift.
Not a one.
Not a single one.
I'm sure. Just name a moment from a TV show, and I'm sure it exists as a gift somewhere. I know there's tons from Parks and Rec.
Yeah. I'll take any of those. All right, guys. Since Andy is so horned up to get at his pizza and shove it up his ass,
I gotta have that sausage.
He's not the only one. What? Guys, let's start wrapping up the show. And you know how we like to do it. We've done it for fucking 10 years. Staff recommendations.
Oh, guys, it's been that long?
It's like, well, maybe 9, maybe 7, maybe 8. Maybe it's been 8 years. It's been 8 goddamn years. Adam, what do you want to recommend to our listening audience?
I haven't done anything new this week. I did get Monster Hunter Stories, but I know you don't care about that.
Monster Hunter Stories.
It's a new 3DS game. It's the latest thing in the Monster Hunter franchise, but it's an RPG, so it's different than all the other Monster Hunter games have been. So instead of going around hunting monsters, you were going around...
telling them stories?
Hatching
stealing
monsters?
Their children.
Yeah, you steal their children, oh, raise them as your own, and you get to ride them around and be friends with them and stuff.
So you're like a real monster to
animals. I really
count
on that Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, that's really... So yeah, it's like, I love brainwashing dumber creatures. Sounds good. Andy, do you have anything for us?
Yeah, I got another 3DS game, Metroid Returns.
Yeah, the new one. How is that?
It's good. It's Metroid 2 remade to be better.
That's good. That sounds good.
I thought they were making another Prime for the DS.
No, they're making a Prime for the Switch.
Oh, okay.
But it's good. Right. It's Metroid. If you like Metroid, fucking get it.
Fucking do it, bro. All the stuff I have to recommend is like photography related. So,
new aperture. Oh.
And instead of that, how about this? I recommend that, you know, the FFOP anthology is still out there on Amazon. You can buy it. It's called Podcast Potboilers. You know, just do a search on Amazon for the book and find it, because, you know, we put a lot of work into it, and maybe you should read it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
like you're
guys,
doing something so important.
Yeah, I mean, what are you doing? What, do you got two hobbies?
What's your shit?
If you guys want to get in contact with us, fistfulpodcast@gmail.com. That's the original. Dave at fistfulpodcast.com. That's still a thing. We're on Twitter if you want to... follow us there. Hopefully I'll be getting these videos out sometime before I'm dead of old age, and we'll go from there. But you know, whatever, guys, if you want to do that, yada yada yada. So until next week, I'm Frill Collins.
I'm Brian Cranston as Ted Danson doing the pantsin' while I'm funky dancing.
And I'm what, a lobster psychic?
Yeah, you're the lobster ghost detective. Saying remember, kids, until next week, these shows will make it to the air. That's a promise from me to you. See you next week.
For the try to. Podcasts Radio.